Bagelgate, to scoop or not to scoop.
Oh, what? I don't even know what that means.
So, you know, people are acting like this is a big new thing. It's not. So some people like to, when they go order their bagels, they ask for the bagels to be scooped. So all the inside, like the good, meaty inside bread part.
The soft part.
Yes, gets taken out, and then you just get it however you want.
So wait a minute. So they take it out, and then do they fill it with something, like a cheeseburger?
No. They don't. Not, no, cream cheese, bacon, egg, and cheese, avocado.
For clarification's sake, do they put an excessive amount in there, like fill the entire scoop, or they just put the regular amount on there and the meat of the bagel has been scooped out?
It's essentially for people that could be gluten-free or they just want to be healthier to get rid of the carbs. So a guy from L.A. was in New York City, and he went to a bagel shop. And I guess in L.A., this is common practice, but he got shut down. Here he is explaining what happened.
I just went to a bagel shop here. I'm from Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, if you order a bagel, you walk in, you say, hey, can I get a scoop gluten-free bagel? The person behind the bar is usually like, of course. We have these different options today for gluten-free. In New York, I just walked in and asked for a scoop gluten-free bagel. The guy just looks at me and goes, I'm not scooping your bagel, bro. I said, dude, that's how I want it.
I mean, that's not how you got it,
You know what? Listen here. That just seems wasteful in certain areas, all right? And in New York, that guy's going to be like, are you serious? It's a $10 bagel, bro. You want every bit of this bagel that's in there. You know, I call me crazy. I'm not a doctor. But if you're taking out the meat of the bagel, isn't the outside of the bagel still inherently somewhat a bagel? So is that truly gluten-free?
I mean, no. They have gluten-free options. I wouldn't know because I've never ordered one.
Right. Because
but I see it.
Right.
I see that bin. I see it there. I don't know.
If you need a scooped bagel for medical purposes, then I endorse that. All right? But other than that, I can't understand. Why would you just not order something else?
So I have a couple of theories
about
this.
Get like a thin pretzel and just put some cream cheese on that. Right? Like, wouldn't that be the same thing?
If you want to scoop your own bagel.
Yeah.
Sure, do it.
Do it when nobody's watching. Don't do it in front of, like, you know, your teenagers or something like that.
But asking the person behind the counter to scoop your bagel for you seems a little bit odd to me. But my daughter, she only eats the inside of bread.
I was going to say, I mean, I feel like they're missing a gold mine. So what are they doing with these bagels? If this is a thing in L.A., there's got to be a trash can every day full of the scooped insides of a bagel.
Well, right. Or in my case, my daughter eats the inside. Yeah. I take it out with, you know, the buttery inside deliciousness.
Hand it over.
She eats that. Then I'll eat the crust in addition to my bagel.
Right. This is a second bagel that you've eaten up. You're like, well, I don't want to be wasteful.
Well, if you don't want to eat the crust of your bagel, honey, that's okay. Mommy will take care of that for you.
I do.
Essentially, I end up eating two bagels. So I don't understand why you would want to scoop out the deliciousness, but...
What if you could walk into a bagel shop and say, give me the scoops, and they would give you nothing but the inside of the bagel?
Like a giant basket filled with the scooped part inside.
Oh my gosh.
You can take it. You know, like how Dunkin' Donuts has like the munchkins?
Yeah.
You just take that. You just take it and you just use it like to scoop up the butter and the cream cheese. And you just, I'll have four ladles of your scooped inside. I'll pay an extra $6 for it.
Do it like a sundae and whip the cream cheese into it. I mean, I hope you're listening, bagel shop.
Yes.
I hope you are.
Five Calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. You go into a restaurant, the food comes out, it's terrible. Do you send it back? Do you say something to the server, or do you do what I do? Absolutely nothing. I smile, I nod, say everything's great, and then I make a mental note never to go back there again. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
If it's something that can be fixed, I'm going to ask for it to be fixed. Like, if there's something missing from it, like a key ingredient, like, then I'm just going to ask for them to fix it. But if it's, like, really bad, I'm going to send it back, man. I'm not going to spend my, like, hard-earned money if there's something, like, wrong with the food, but I'm not a picky eater either.
What worries me is when a dinner takes 45 minutes to an hour, comes out.
That shouldn't bother you.
And it's not right. But if it comes out after all that time and it's not right, I'm afraid to send it back or have them remake it because I'm never going to eat.
You're starving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to eat.
No, it'll usually come back out pretty quickly if there's a mistake. I mean, I can only talk from experience with the restaurants.
Right, but that worries me, right? Because then what did they do with it? Did they cook it under a steam iron? How'd they make it so much faster this time?
Well,
They stole it from somebody.
But they definitely stole it from another table. But that's right. That's their problem. That's table six's problem, not yours.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do? Do you tell them that the food stinks, or do you just keep your mouth shut?
I tell them it's bad. The other day, I got some chicken tenders, and they weren't, like, fried thoroughly. Like, you could basically taste the little frostbite in the middle.
Oh.
I let them have it. It's just like, how difficult can it possibly be to just be patient for 7 minutes?
Well, I guess that's
I don't
right.
think you should... degrade them. It's not very nice.
Right. What are you, stupid?
I'm also a chef, so.
What are you, a stupid guy? Oh, well, that's different. Right. You're already judgy inherently.
Yep.
In all walks of life. Doesn't even matter with food. I know you, chef. I know
wow.
too many chefs.
Yeah, sometimes I can't turn it off. But here.
It's all right. Embrace it, though. That's cool. Know who you are, right? Know, know thyself.
If you go to a restaurant and the food is terrible, do you speak up and do you say something? Or do you just keep your mouth shut and, you know, make a mental note that you're never going back there again?
I am one of those people that over the years, like, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm paying money for it. I'm sending the food back. I'm saying something. I'm talking to a manager. They're either going to comp the meal or, I mean, I don't even know if I'd want a gift card to go back there, but absolutely say something.
Wow.
Right.
You are.
Yep.
You're slamming the door on it, right?
Yep.
They're going to remake it. They might comp it on top of it. Sounds like you want it comped on top of it. And they might have to give you a gift card to come back.
I also want the dessert. Give me the dessert.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I've done too many bad meals and keeping my mouth shut. If I'm opening my mouth to eat, I'm going to open my mouth to say something.
You know what? All right. The way you say it, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe I've been wrong.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do? Do you tell them their food stinks?
I don't, because I'm afraid if I send it back that they're going to do something to my food. You know, I don't know if they'll put a hair in it or spit in it or drop it on the floor or something. But, you know, I've heard too many horror stories, and I'm a little paranoid to begin with. So, no, I don't say anything. I just don't go back.
And I feel the exact same way when my wife sends something back. And I worked in restaurants for years. Like, I don't think anybody actually does anything to the food.
Oh, I mean, I grew
it's
up in restaurants
rare.
All my whole life. So my dad does. Never in a million years has my father would ever that would cross his mind, or would he tolerate one of his workers
right.
to do something like that.
Right. I mean, I think any place that finds that they have somebody in there, they're getting rid of them immediately. It seems like that's like an urban legend or something, you know, you saw in a couple R-rated comedies. But
you can't. I
mean, but at the same time, right, there is that chance.
Ultimately, a majority of the audience sends it back and speaks up. I don't know. I still don't think I'm going to. I think I'm still too shy.
If I send it back and it's a problem and you give me a gift card on top of it, I'll come back that one other time. And if there's another problem, I'm never entering that place again.
Yeah. What didn't you know you were doing wrong until you lived with a woman? 1-800-330-9999.
Well, virtually everything. I mean, because I'm married. But, you know, primarily over the last few years, one of the biggest things is the lawn. The lawn, of course, right? And I'm not even talking about the fact that I drove my lawnmower through the fence. That's a different story for
four times.
I only broke the fence one time.
Okay.
All right. That's a different story for a different day. The fact is that my wife does all the landscaping now. Her hours are such that she's home. She can do it. So she handles it and she mows all the lawn. Ever since she started doing it, every time that I have to do anything around the lawn, it's no longer acceptable. The lines that I make with the lawnmower, the fact that I'm going this way, you have to go with the grain, not against the grain. It's nonsense. And anything else that I do, the only thing that she likes me to do in the area of the lawn is weed whack and then haul the stuff out when she pulls it out. And even when I do the weed whack and she criticizes it.
I mean, this could go either way because my husband has pointed out to me and it makes me mad inside that you can't throw away loose garbage in the outside giant garbage cans, the ones that you wheel out.
It's supposed to put it in a bag.
Oh my gosh. Like if I want to clean out my car, I got to bring my garbage from inside the car, inside the house to throw it in the garbage bag inside and then bring that bag outside. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my entire life.
That is kind of a crazy thing.
What? Like what?
I throw anything in my trash can.
They're going to take it. If it's loose in there, it's going to go in the same machine.
The way I look at it is they don't figure it out till it's upside down. Nobody gets out to check the trash bin, right? It's an arm that grabs it now. So it's already upside down. They're not going to stop it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you know you were doing wrong until you lived with a woman?
Apparently, I'm only supposed to use shampoo. My wife admonished me that if I try to use conditioner as well, because apparently that's only for long hair. Who knew?
Actually, I've had this argument with my husband because he tried to use my shampoo a few times, which is like color treated shampoo, which as many people will tell you, that costs a bazillion dollars. Whereas his Head and Shoulders cost $2.39 on the shelf at Walmart. And one day he was trying to be like, well, yours smells nice. And then we had a big issue with that. But that's true. Conditioner is really for longer hair. Like shampoo is to wash your scalp.
I don't think the conditioner company is like, don't use my conditioner if you have short hair. I mean, I use conditioner every time I take a shower.
Your hair looks exactly the same every single day for the last 7 years I've known
because
you.
Because I use conditioner.
If you stop using luxurious? Conditioner, it would not make a difference. Your hair is too short for it to make a difference. 100%.
Hater.
Santa and Raven, what didn't you know you were doing wrong until you lived with a woman?
Loading the dishwasher. Me and my wife argue about it all the time. And I told her, I'm not even doing the dishes anymore because every time I load the dishwasher, I do something wrong. Like the knives are wrong or the plates are in the wrong spot or the bowls are hard anyway. So I'm just done with it.
The last 3 days, Anna, mm-hmm. my wife and I have taken out and put back in the dishwasher 3 times the same plastic, like Ziploc container, you know, like the hard ones
yeah.
that you use, like takeaways or whatever.
Why?
Like, because she prefers to put them in the dishwasher from time to time. And I'm like, this thing is half the size of the cup tray. It's a massive one. It took me 2 seconds to wash it with the sponge and the soap in the sink. Okay. And I think it gets cleaner. And she's like, do not take it out of there again. I put it in there for a reason. I had put it back in the cabinet. She took it out of the cabinet and put it back in the dishwasher.
I mean, why would you even start that fight? Like, who cares?
It's insane.
Let it get washed.
It just seems wasteful to me, all right? I could have put 15 cups in that space.
I mean, just run it again. What are you talking about?
I never knew I was wrong until now.
Right.
Talking to a woman after being corrected by a woman.
1-800-330-9999. What didn't you know you were doing wrong until you lived with a woman? Or really, with anybody? What's the thing you didn't know you were doing wrong until you lived with a woman? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven.
Towels. I had no idea there are so many categories of towels. I didn't know that there were good towels. I didn't know there were bad towels. I didn't know there were towels for when company comes over. I didn't know there were towels that you were never supposed to touch. I always have to ask whenever I get a new bath towel.
That's
I don't know.
Sick.
I still don't know what towel to use.
My husband had the gall to wipe his hands on the towels that have our initials engraved in them.
Oh my gosh, the monogram towels.
I was like, what are you
doing? He wiped his hands on those. When he washed his hands, mm-hmm. he then reached for the monogram towel and used it.
Like a barbarian. I was like, don't you not see the A and the P on them for Anna and Paul? Like, why would you use those? Why wouldn't you use the one that's right next to the sink?
We have so many towels in my house, and I feel like every time I reach for one, it's the wrong towel. So in the kitchen, we have a drawer full of kitchen towels, but every time I go to get a new towel out of that drawer, what are you doing? What are you? We have a towel over here. Like, it's a whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas when she's doing something, making dinner or whatever, she'll have a soap towel and she'll be like, honey, can you get me another towel out of the drawer? And if I say something, oh, she gets so mad. Then if I go to take a shower, I have no idea why, but we have tan towels and we have lighter towels, almost kind of like a white, like a bone. We're the only two people that live in the house. For some reason, in the closet, the towels offset. Tan, bone, tan, bone, tan, bone. The tan ones are fluffier than the bone ones.
Yeah.
Every time I go in, the bone's on the top. Mm. Every single time. If I skip one and take a tan one, she gets so worked up. Why did you do that to the towels? Why not?
Yeah.
This is our house.
I had to explain to Paul the other day that we are changing the way we fold towels
oh
now.
Oh, my gosh.
So now I watched this YouTube tutorial about how if you roll the towels instead of fold them, it's more efficient space-wise. And we don't have a lot of space for our bath towels.
Okay.
So we had to learn how to fold them into like four, right?
Yeah.
And then you roll them tight.
Right.
Like you roll, it's like a rolled towel. Like you get out of spa. That's what I said to him.
It's like a military funeral.
It's like we're at a spa. No, it's like we're at a spa now, but we're still home. He's just doing it. He just does it. You know?
He just does what he's told.
Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you know you did wrong until you were married?
Well, it's actually about my husband. He doesn't know, well, didn't know anyway until I told him, which fruit goes in the refrigerator and which fruit stays out on the counter.
Oh, I still don't know. I can't. I think that's like something that some people just don't know.
Yeah, you know what? And I do it all personal preference. Some people like, right, apples, aren't apples supposed to stay out? I like them cold.
No, apples last forever if you put them in the fridge, I think.
I think
that's the rule.
I put them in there. Tomatoes are supposed to stay out, right? I like them chilly.
Cherries and grapes store in the fridge unwashed in their original plastic containers.
Oh, we don't do that. They get washed and they're right out in a container so I can grab them all the time.
Oh, interesting.
I don't respect the fruit rules either. I'm sorry.
It's pretty easy. If they're in the cold section in the grocery store, they go in the fridge. If they're just like piled up, like apples and oranges and citrus and stuff, they don't go in the fridge.
Keep this science to yourself. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Like, I don't believe all that.
I was like blown away. I'm like, oh.
Oh, that's why they do that.
Oh.
No, I don't care. I'm not going to change.
Babysitting confessions. What did you do? 1-800-330-9999. As a parent, this is terrifying.
Mm.
When I was a teenager, though, I was a babysitter. And I will say, like, there's probably a thing or two that I look back on. I'm like, meh, maybe that wasn't great.
I mean, and in some ways, ignorance is bliss, of course, as long as there were no injuries. But, yeah, it's on the line, right?
Yeah. There is a YouTube page dedicated solely to babysitter confessions.
I'm a nanny. The 9-month-old I nanny for fell off the changing table. He's okay, but I didn't tell his parents.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, like I'm going to throw up. This is what Ring cameras are for.
I fell off the changing table many times when I was a baby. My mom tells me all the time. She was the one that let me fall. She said, I don't know why you kept falling. I'm like, where were you?
Yeah, put me on something lower. I mean, how about that, right? Let's put up some railings on this thing here.
Mommy, I was 6 weeks old.
Right.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not fair to say that I made a decision to jump.
I mean, it's a mistake. I think that a parent would not be, most parents, I think, would not be upset if you just said, I did it. It's accidental. I did it. It was an accident. But you got to keep an eye on your kid after something like that happens, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would replace you if you told me that it's an accident. The baby fell off the changing table. I wasn't what? What weren't you?
You were getting a diaper. I mean, listen, it happens. I'd be lying if I said Hayden and Dakota didn't take a couple stumbles off the couch when they were little.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I babysit for my neighbors all the time. After the kids are asleep, I go in their hot tub naked.
Oh, my God.
Would you rather your child fall off the changing table or the naked babysitter in the hot tub?
No, I mean, neither of them are great choices, but I'm going to go with naked babysitter in the hot tub because it just feels like a safety hazard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both safety hazards.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad.
I made the kid I babysit watch a horror movie because I wanted to watch it. No regrets.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I never understand why people make their kids watch horror movies. I remember growing up, my uncle, like, he used to watch scary movies with his kids all the time with my cousins. And they were not scared. And they grew up not scared. Maybe he did it right because I'm terrified of scary movies.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of it, of course, is like, you don't want to force them. But any kid that's curious, they're going to be curious about something that you told them that they couldn't be part of before. Right.
Babysitting confessions, 1-800-330-9999. Catherine.
I don't know if this is, like, really silly, but I would purposely make the kids go to bed early so I could sit outside and talk to my boyfriend. He would come over. We would sit outside. Yeah. So I would make them go to bed. Like, even if it was on the weekends, it's like, y'all got to go to bed. My boyfriend is coming over here. I didn't tell them that, but yeah.
I think, well, first of all, the fact that you kept him outside is respectful. I think that's nice.
Mm.
And also, yeah, that's sure. Not. If I was a mom or a dad, I wouldn't care. I'd be like, the sooner you can get her in the bed, the easier it is for you. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I've got no problem with that.
Yeah. That's
as
not
long
so
as they're
bad.
Safe there, we're good.
I don't know if this is a babysitting confession, but when I was a teenager and I babysat, it was actually one of the only jobs I ever got fired from.
Mm.
And the kids, they told me that the kids were swearing. They were saying the H-E-double-L word.
Okay.
And that
they were learning it from you.
That they were learning it from me. And I don't know if that was true or not.
Yeah.
And I don't think so. But I mean, who am I? I don't know. I was also 16. So who knows?
I was going to say, considering that you're a grown woman, you still won't say it. Maybe not. Right?
Right.
Would you rather pull up and find out that your babysitter is on the front stoop or the back stoop? Or would you rather pull up and have them smell like your hot tub?
I would rather, on the front stoop, it's fine.
Okay.
Right, they're there. They're doing their job.
All right.
I don't know. What's your babysitting confession? 1-800-330-9999. When we asked for babysitting confessions, I didn't think we would get ones that were so bad that we could not air.
Yeah. That was an illicit, interesting story.
Maybe for the podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your babysitter confession? There's a YouTube page that it's all babysitters that anonymously post what they did. And honestly, as a parent, it's my worst nightmare. But I remember being a teenager and babysitting. You didn't really think it was a big deal, right?
Right. Well, I mean, things are bound to happen. That mm-hmm. much you can understand. As long as nobody gets truly injured. But some of these, they're quite questionable.
On our text line, I set the clock ahead so the kids would go to bed earlier. As a parent, I am 100% okay with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, get them to bed. Good.
That's an old New Year's Eve trick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the ball's dropping. It's 7:01.
Yeah. I babysat for a couple. Here's another text. The lady was a nurse. I was really interested in the male anatomy, and I would look at pictures in her nursing books.
That's funny.
You got to learn somehow.
Yeah, I mean, right? Get the information where you can.
Mm-hmm.
There are worse ways.
Here's another one. Oh, no. Once when I was babysitting, the kid killed his bird by squeezing it too hard.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know what to do, so I set it on the table and their cat got it.
Oh, no. These are all bad choices. I mean, making the best decision out of bad choices, but oh, no. And I don't want to babysit that kid after that, by the way. I just want to be clear on that.
Isa, what was your babysitting confession?
So every time I go out when I was younger, my parents would never let me go anywhere unless I took my sister, mm-hmm. who was 4 years younger, then we'd play in the street a lot. So every time a car would come down the road, I'd make her turn around and kiss a parked car so that she wouldn't get hit by the moving car.
I mean, that's just wrong. She would have to physically kiss another car.
She never got hit by a car.
Right, right. Yeah. You know. I wonder if she's still doing this now today, right, to keep herself safe on the side of the road. You know, like when you walk along a high ledge and you're like, what if I fell? Well, if you're walking along the sidewalk and you're truly worried, just kiss a car.
I wonder if she makes her children do that now. That's something that you pass down.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. When her kids were young, I'm pretty sure she made them do it.
This is why you got to carry sanitizer. Thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
Chris, how about you? As a babysitter, what did you do?
Well, one time they were out in the backyard playing, so I'm comfy in the chaise lounge, and a few minutes later I was waking up. Evidently, I'd been asleep for about 40 minutes, so falling asleep on my babysitting task wasn't exactly the
How old were the kids?
Like 8 and 7.
Oh, well, I mean, that's better than, like, you know, 8 months. Yeah. Can't do that. That is not a thing.
There wasn't a pool or anything. Okay. You know, I mean,
that was the first thing I thought. I was like, please don't tell me there's a pool. Okay.
This is my biggest problem, though, is like when I'm babysitting, is making sure that I'm like staying awake with the baby because he falls asleep on me.
Yeah.
And so then you got to, like, you know, you got to make sure we can't both fit in the playpen. So for safety's sake.
I got in so much trouble at the hospital after I had Dakota because I would put her on my chest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to bond. But then the baby would fall asleep. And I would fall asleep. And then the nurse would come in and be like, wah!
The second sleep thing. You can't do that.
It's so hard. You're so tired. Gosh. It is so hard to be a new parent, without a doubt. But you are 20 and babysitting, so it's a lot different. You're about to learn something really strange about yourself. If you missed it, this was in the news.
15 years here in New Jersey, cursive has been optional, but that's about to change.
Seeing cursive as a relic from the past is exactly why Governor Murphy made it one of his last acts in office, to require all New Jersey students to learn cursive just in time for America's 250th birthday.
He mandated that cursive be brought back to the schools. I didn't know that it was an option. I know that they take it for a less period of time now, and it's not really enforced all that much, but I didn't know that some schools didn't teach it at all anymore.
I think I've been aware of that for a while. It's kind of, you know, sad. In my life, I remember third grade, I really remember that you had to do a lot of it, but I think it was before that. They were teaching us the alphabet in both block lettering and cursive. From moment one.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the reason why former Governor Murphy did this,
quote, giving our students the skills they need to read our nation's founding documents and complete tasks like opening a bank account or signing a check, in addition to offering cognitive benefits.
I will tell you this. My 16-year-old does not know cursive. She knows it so little. Even when she had to sign her name,
It looked weird to you?
You know how we sign our names? It's like fast. It's just like a scribble and we just do it.
You get a letter or two out of that usually to decipher.
But it's so calculated because she had to memorize how to do it because she doesn't really write cursive.
Yeah. And so she has to like set herself up to do it.
Yes.
But let me angle the paper this way.
Now, there's a lot of us right now that are probably like, you should learn how to write cursive. Yeah. And we're going to get to that vote in just a second because there's people on both sides of this. They're saying there's no reason. Like, they need to learn computers. They need to learn AI. They need to learn everything that's the future. We don't need to go backwards on how to write cursive anymore.
Well, for the most part, that's going to be the way that they interact with the universe, right? Mm-hmm. The way that they're talking and communicating with people anyways. Hardly anybody's sending a letter anymore. You don't write a letter to the editor. The editor doesn't exist.
I will still write notes. I do handwrite a lot of notes.
But oh, yeah?
So Raven and I said to Raven right before we started, I said, write something in cursive. Yeah. And what I realized is, as I was writing in cursive is that I've developed my own language of writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mixture.
Same.
Because when I went to go write the S,
yeah.
I go, wait a minute. I was like, how do you write the S?
I do that with words. You're going to find in mine, too.
All right, let's switch. Let's right, read each other's cursive all handwriting.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Who's going first? Whoa, yours looks pretty. Okay.
I hope today will be sunny and warm with a bright sky. But this is because I know how to read your chicken scratch.
I mean, either way, it's cursive.
It's cursive.
It's lovely cursive.
Yeah,
actually,
go ahead.
I think here we go.
I got a little caught up.
Should we bring back cursive writing? Some people think it's important. Others aren't so sure.
I got confused.
You're
on the lowercase S's. Those
okay,
S's
I was going to say, that doesn't really look like it. And then your signature's here because that one you remember.
I remember how to do my signature, but I forgot how to make the lowercase R, too. That's why sure got all messed up. I mean, what do you think?
Sure has an extra letter.
I don't know what I
think. It has maybe two extra letters. You just kind of scribbled away here.
If you want to do a fun activity today and you have a few minutes to spare, try to write proper cursive and see if you can still do it.
Yeah.
But you want to know what? Let's take a vote. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Should we mandate that they teach cursive in the schools? The last thing that Governor Murphy in New Jersey did before he left office was he made a statewide law that all the kids have to take cursive. I didn't even know that schools and states have the option. I thought everybody still taught it to some capacity.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think obviously we've learned something here at this point. And the question is whether or not kids should still be learning cursive or it's something we should just be leaving in, you know, old timey days.
100%. Like, should we bring it back? Or are a lot of the young people say, no, we've got better things
useless.
To learn.
Right.
We're going to take five calls. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Muncie, should the states mandate cursive in the schools?
I'm going to say absolutely yes, and here's why. I'm an occupational therapist with over 30 years of experience. One of the most frequent referrals that comes through in school is for issues with handwriting. If you use cursive handwriting, you do not remove your hand and pencil from the paper, and it is much easier in terms of visual motor skills to do it that way, and it should come back. I learned cursive in second grade, and when we got to the letter Z, we never printed again. So that's it for me.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day. Hi, Anna and Raven, Five Calls Says It All. What do you think? Cursive, bringing it back to schools or leaving it in the past?
Bringing it back.
Okay.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I work in the medical field, and you need to sign documents. Even if it's on a digital screen, you need to sign documents and, like, have forms filled out. Like, say you need leave for taking care of somebody or if you need surgery, and you need to sign your name. It's safety for you to be able to sign your name and people copy it if you're just writing block letters.
Yeah, one thing that I deal with all the time, though, Anna, is they dropped the screen or the thing that they give me that's digital to sign on because it never looks like my signature when I do it there.
Lynn, keep it in or no? Five calls says it all.
I definitely cursive. You have to. My daughters don't read it, and I write to them in script all the time, and I keep on forgetting.
Yeah.
Mary Beth, cursive in schools. Are they bringing back the education of it or leave it in the past?
Bring it back, please.
Hi, this is Amy.
Amy, five calls says it all. Settle this for us here. Cursive, bringing it back to schools makes sense or leave it in the past?
Leave it in the past. There's so many other things that these kids need to learn to succeed in life. Maybe teach them another language like every other country in the world.
I actually agree with that. I don't think we know enough languages in the schools.
You might be right.
I remember one time while I was on vacation, there was this little boy that was playing with Dakota. We were in Italy visiting family.
Yeah.
He spoke 7 languages.
Yeah.
He was 6 years old.
It was pretty wild, right? And at that age, if you're doing it from a young age on, they say it's easier.
So much easier. Yeah. They absorb everything when they're little, which is why I think they should have to learn everything. But 5 calls said it all. 4 said yes. 1 said no. And if you look at our social media pages, overwhelming. A lot of people say keep cursive. It seems like such a ridiculous thing, but I mean, I guess he has a point. We got this call a few minutes ago.
I'm trying to meet someone, but it seems like every single time I approach a woman, you know, at a bar, at a, you know, in a grocery store, if I try to talk to her at all, it's just, it's not even, you know, an over flirting. It's just, she's creeped out. And I just think it's what am I supposed to do? I'm a nice guy.
How do you approach a woman without being like a creep?
Well, a couple things to just, you know, cover our bases here is that he's not doing it while she's sitting next to another person or a date.
Correct.
He's not hitting on the bride at a wedding.
No.
Or anything like that. He's just approaching regular people that appear to be available, whether it be out at some sort of location or, you know, grocery store or anything like that, like public places where people are just doing roundabout their things. He sees somebody, he says, oh, they look nice. I'd like to talk to them. I seem like I'm nice. And yet he can't just get over that hump with the conversation without them looking at him like, get away from me.
Well, I, you know, it's true, because if I'm out with a group of friends and guys approach us, right, which does not happen anymore, but back in the day.
I'm sure it might happen once in a while.
Not really. Okay. But the first thing we do is like we all like kind of turn and like, what are these guys doing? Why do they want to talk to us? And it's true. But then again, these are my same friends that'll complain that they can't find a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Where are all the good guys? Now we've gotten older and it's impossible to find a nice guy. They go on the dating apps and they're creeps. They meet people at school, the dads, and they're creeps. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's true. How do you do it? And be like, listen, I'm normal. I think you're pretty. Like, I'd like to go out with you once sometime, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, saying it like that wouldn't be necessarily the way that I would do it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I think you're pretty.
There's a list.
I'd like to hang out with you.
They say there's 6 things that you're supposed to do.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Bullet points. Let's go.
Number 1, use simple opening line to get her attention. Hey!
See, I you know what? I don't know about that. The opening line, simple opening line to get somebody's attention. I don't know about that. Okay.
Engage in lighthearted conversation. So do you like cheese? Cheese is awesome. It's your favorite kind of cheese.
Okay.
That seems weird, right?
I mean, all right.
Show your sense of humor. Knock, knock. Like, what is that?
I mean, no wonder nobody's approaching you and your girlfriends. I mean, seriously, the 3 out of 6 so far, these all seem questionable. All right.
Be direct and honest about your intentions. I'd like to have your baby. I mean, that's
would you like to have my baby?
Are you into babies? Yeah. Number 5, give her a genuine, specific compliment.
I mean, okay.
But like if a guy randomly walked up to me and was like, I think your eyes are pretty, I'd be like, okay, thank you. I would also find that to be creepy or something like that.
I mean, you've been married for years. Nobody's, you know, like you said, you know, you're not working out that muscle where people are hitting on you, but okay.
And 6, look for signs she likes you. Yeah, but if she's just like at the grocery store doing her thing and shopping, what signs are you looking? What are you talking about?
Maybe she really likes that avocado. And now taken that, she's gazing at the avocado and, you know, you're just on the other side of the produce rack. You think she's looking at you. She's not.
Who's the most annoying person at a party? 1-800-330-9999.
Went to a friend's Jack and Jack this weekend, Anna, and saw all the regular characters that you see at every party. Good party, good time. It's at a hall in my town that virtually everybody has all their parties at, whether it's a shower or a birthday, celebration of life, whatever. All the parties happen at this place. And so, as I looked around and the day kept going on for a lot of people, it's like first party, like big party in a long time, like hundreds of people. And, looking around, all the same characters there. So I spent a lot on the raffle trying to get my tickets. Is there anybody more annoying than the person that keeps calling out, got it, and they don't actually have it? It's the most annoying person that you can run into at a party, right? Like the raffle joke only works one time and then nobody actually wants to hear from you. And then when you do actually win something, if you do and you've been the raffle joker the whole time, everybody in the building hates you, just so you know.
Well, right, because you're the person that cried wolf. You know,
you're the most annoying person.
You're the most annoying person in the room, right?
Yeah.
You're right, because there's certain people that exist at every single party.
Every party.
They thrive on it.
Every party.
There's the fake raffle caller. Also not to be confused with the bingo fake caller.
Oh, they're the same person to me. Same person. Oh, no. When everybody stops and turns around,
For me, the most annoying person is the one that's got to show everything on their phone. Wait a minute. I got to show you this picture. And then they spend 10 minutes going through their photo reel, and you're just standing there, and they can't find the picture.
Yeah, they never find the photo.
They never find the photo.
They stop on three other things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here was me at this. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever. You don't care. How about the person that tells you how early they came to set up? Oh, I've been here since 9 a.m. Oh, I've been here since 7. Well, great. It's 3 in the afternoon now. Great.
Yeah, I've been there all day.
Did you have a beer? Great.
Well, the only person that's worse than the person at a party that's constantly like saying how they've been there all day setting up is the person that is the party ender. And they spend about 45 minutes going around saying that they're leaving and they have to say goodbye to everybody.
Every person
I'm
going
to be taking off. I'm going to be taking off soon. I just want to say goodbye. It was so nice to see you.
Yeah.
Tell the kids I said hello.
And then talk for another half.
And then they talk for another half hour. I mean, just leave.
Yeah.
Just go. Just.
I mean, but don't you do that? My wife's Italian. Like, isn't that an Italian thing?
No, I don't do it anymore.
No?
I turn around and be like, I gotta go, guys. Love you. Mwah, mwah, and I walk out the door.
Oh, that's awesome.
I used to have a friend who did the opposite. They would ghost. And that person is also annoying because then you're afraid something happened to that person.
They die. They're over in a bush somewhere. Around the vicinity of the party, they've actually passed out somewhere.
Has anybody seen Jim? Guys, is that returning my text?
It's funny. At a networking party, they'll tell you that's a power move. People will think of you and, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, it was interesting to see them while they were here. But at a party, we just assume that person is deceased now somewhere in a ditch.
Who is the most annoying person at a party? 1-800-330-9999. Going to parties, you may realize it's the same cast of characters. And there's some people at the party that are just plain annoying. 1-800-330-9999. Who's the most annoying person at a party?
The most annoying person at a party is when they come and they say, oh, I'm only here and I have to leave quick because I have somewhere else to go. And they come for half an hour and then they leave. Why do they bother coming? They should just go to the other party.
Well, don't tell me about That's how annoying. You're coming and then you're going, right? Like, because I'm not interested. Right. I mean, if you're only here to say hello and you know, save face, like, it's not even my party. What do I care if you showed up for 5 minutes?
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like people feel like they have to show face and they have to show up, but they do that as an excuse so they don't have to stay a very long time, which is rude, because who cares? Like, there's nobody that important that you want to come to your house for 20 minutes.
Right.
Just say you can't make it.
Get out of here, right?
Yeah. Hi, Anna and Raven. Who's the most annoying person at a party?
The guitar guy. You know, that guy always shows up with his guitar, always wanting to play like Kumbaya or whatever the heck he wants to play, and usually isn't even a good guitar player. The worst.
But they always get a chick. It's terrible.
I feel like that was more common like in the 70s. I feel like nobody does that anymore.
No. They don't care, man. We don't need you busking out front of the subway station. Like, just leave us alone. Anna and Raven, who's the most annoying person at a party?
The guy who talks right in your face. The guy who just constantly wants to tell you about his latest business idea, the new idea that he's got to make a lot of money really quickly. That guy, the longer he's there, the more he talks to you.
Oh, I know this guy. This is the guy that tells you that things are going really great lately.
Oh, yeah.
Things are going really great. Mm-hmm. That's also usually the recovering drug addict, if you didn't
Raven.
Know. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He just got out of some program or whatever. He's doing really good. Sorry, the last time I saw you, I was a little bit out of sorts. I was going through something. Okay. Seems like you're still going through it.
You're just like I've said it before and I'll say it again. Your parties are a lot different than my parties.
That's my neighborhood.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's the most annoying person at a party?
Hands down, has to be that person that wants to play bartender, like Woody from Cheers. They're that one that's like, oh my God, I have this new recipe. You have to try it right now. And it's like, I haven't even set my bag down. Or you already have a drink in your hand. So, like, no, you have to try this. You have to try this. Do you want a beer? Do you want a wine? Do you want a this? Do you want a that? Like, hospitality is nice, but I'm good. Thank you.
It's true. There's always somebody who thinks they can make the greatest thing ever. And all right, I mean, thanks for making, you know, the cranberry and vodka or whatever it is that you're doing over there. But on the other hand, just relax.
Mm.
All right.
There's the flip side. So, you know, my husband, Paul, used to bartend for years at my parents' restaurant.
Yeah.
So anytime that we have like a family party, my dad will automatically be like, Paul, make everybody a drink.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then Uncle Mike,
you know what you're doing. Yeah.
And then Uncle Michael chime in. Do you know how to make tequila sunrise? Can you make a tequila sunrise?
All of a sudden, people are
There's
calling out orders.
There's always that one person that wants that one drink. Like, yeah. Do we have enough for that? Is there enough alcohol? No.
It's a barbecue, man. You want a Coors, a Corona? Okay. All right, get out of here. How about this can of
a
seltzer?
Bud Light? Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Paul would be like, I'll be right back. I got to go to Walmart and get pineapple juice. Uncle Mike wants a tequila sunrise. Like, all right. See you in a little bit.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Drip Drop. Drip Drop is a doctor-developed, proven fast hydration. Stock up now on all your favorite flavors at DripDrop.com. Andre and Lena, you're divorced now. How long have you been divorced?
About 2 years.
You have a 7-year-old daughter, right?
Yes.
And Andre, you guys have shared custody of your daughter.
That's right.
Now, Lena, I know that you reached out that you have a big issue with something that Andre has been doing when he has your daughter. So what's going on?
Andre doesn't know how to be an adult, in my opinion. I think he thinks he's still a child, which is why he feeds our daughter absolute garbage. She's come home where after a weekend, and she hasn't even seen, had, or heard of a vegetable or any kind of fruit. It's all cookies and cake and pizza and junk. And there are times where I don't even think she's had water for days. It's juice and soda. And it's just, I know that I'm a nutritionist, so maybe that's why I feel so strongly about it, but I feel like he's taking it to the extreme.
Andre, what's your side of this?
My side of it is I have a problem, and my problem is my ex-wife thinks kids can only eat this organic, like, ridiculous stuff. She has completely forgotten what it is to be a kid. My daughter sees kids eat more fun stuff, good stuff at school. She just wants some stuff that kids should be allowed to have. So I give her those things because her mother refuses.
It's a tricky thing, right? It's almost like kids' meds, right? Like, you see them go up and down this roller coaster every other day, and that's painful, especially if it's something that you're passionate about there, Lena. I understand that. On the other hand, Andre, there's nothing like an Oreo or chocolate chip cookie. I used to love to come home and Chips Ahoy, or if my mom made some cookies, that was the best.
Why is it so much, so intense for like all day? I mean, if you have a little bit of a mix, I mean, yeah, I do give some kind of snacks. Everything isn't organic, but again, in moderation.
All right, but let's be honest here, Alita. Is a snack ever a cookie, or is it some sort of nature cookie? Let's just cut to it.
Okay, I won't lie, Oreos are also my weakness, but let's be serious, okay? Those nature snacks are also good. There's nothing wrong with some chia seeds and granola rolled in some dark-covered chocolate. You get the chocolate, you get your fix. I promise you, she's okay, and she's happy.
Those are bitter, and I've been over there, and I've never seen a kid food. Mm. Like, at this point, I'm just giving her kid food because she can't get it anywhere else.
It's an interesting point. I've got a friend who he goes through these cycles where he basically gets an Uber shape, right? And I've seen this before where he kind of pressures his girlfriend to do the workout thing. You know, it's always easier with a buddy. And then the second he's out of the room, my wife's like, oh, she had 3 slices of pizza. With kids, it certainly works that way. If they don't get any of those things that they want, when they get the opportunity, they're going to binge it. And that's like a whole other discussion.
Andre, when your daughter comes to your house, do you have healthy options available?
Yeah, like I know a lot of the time I'm giving her pizza and soda because that's what she wants. You know, she's excited to come over because she's going to be able to eat those things. For me, it's just like not a huge concern, you know, so I'm not like going out of my way to make sure that if we stop for food that it's going to be...
That there's a cantaloupe in the fridge. I get it.
Right.
All right. I mean, what it comes down to is, does your ex-wife have any say over what you feed your child when it's your turn to watch her?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Does your ex have any say on what your child eats when he has custody of her? That's what's going on with Andre and Lena. Lena is a nutritionist, and she's very upset that when Andre has their 7-year-old daughter, all he does is feed her junk. She says it's absolutely obnoxious.
Different people have different definitions of shared custody, right? Shared custody to some people means, hey, we've got a plan. We're working this plan together. It's the right way to do things, so we should be in agreement whether one person likes it or the other. On the other hand, other people think shared custody is when she's over here, I do whatever I want. When she's over there, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
So yeah, on our text line at 1-800-330-9999, it says, when Lena signed the divorce papers, she handed over all the responsibility of when Andre has their daughter. So he's allowed to give her whatever she wants when she is with him. Is that really true, though? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Do you really have any say over what your ex-husband feeds your daughter when he's has custody? That's what's going on with Lena and Andre right now. They have shared custody of their 7-year-old daughter. Mm. And Lena's a nutritionist, and it makes her out of her mind upset because when their daughter is with Andre, all she eats is junk. Like, not even healthy food in the house to have an option. It's just junk food.
Well, Andre says there's nothing but healthy food in Lena's house, and this is the problem. So that when their daughter comes over to his house, she wants all the fun stuff that she sees her friends eat from time to time, that they're eating in the cafeteria or whatever. You know, she doesn't want another granola snack. She wants pizza. You know, she wants ice cream for dessert. She wants cookies when she runs in for a snack from school. He says, you know what? I'm just giving it balance. She can burn it off anyways. What's the big deal?
What do you think? Does your ex have any say on what you feed your child when you are in custody of that child? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Sharon, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I absolutely believe this is not about them. It's about what's in the child's best interest. And I'm actually in the same situation where my son has shown up at the bus stop with Lay's potato chips for breakfast. Mm. So it's not okay.
I love the salt on those chips.
Yes, but for breakfast?
Right. And I'm an adult. I can make bad decisions.
Yes. Your son's good,
right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
How you doing? You're not going to believe this one, but it's actually a split for me. I think they're both right. I think they fell in love with each other for a reason. They had both some positives and some negatives, and they need to split the difference and work with each other to be the best for each other and their daughter.
Hey, Kate, what do you think?
So I think this is partially he wants to be a little defiant against his ex-wife, which I get. I mean, it is what it is. But the problem is he wants to be the positive dad to her so that she likes going to see him. And I get that. But if he doesn't teach her a little bit of balance in some of those meals, then you're teaching her to binge.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lena, our audience agreed with you today. Andre, it's not so much that you are giving her junk food or foods that are not ideal and healthy. It's that you're not giving her a healthy option. So you're not even putting all the options on the table. And that's not fair.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, you know, I know that she wants the fun stuff. And so I get to be the fun dad that gets to give her that. But I know that I've got to make some balance happen.
Lena, that's going to make you happy, Andre, right?
Absolutely. I thank you. I get that I can come off a little strong because it's not just my passion, it's my profession. But, you know, thank you. I appreciate the effort.
Hey, even if you don't get along, you guys are raising a human, right? So, you know, make these things more of a treat when you get some junk stuff. Some junk stuff is okay, right? But make it a treat. Make it understood.
Right.
All right. If you have a problem, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.